All right, we're carrying on the series, End of Me. And we're well into this series now, only a couple more weeks left. and it's been a really fun series. I've had a lot of feedback, a lot of people saying it's really been helpful for them. And the good news is that it's not just my sermon, it's Jesus' sermon. He's had this incredible sermon right near the beginning of his ministry, near the one of his first sermons that's recorded is him speaking this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount about the Beatitudes. And in fact, it's three chapters long in the book of Matthew. And he's been talking about this idea of blessing, what it looks to live the blessed life, what it looks like to live a life that is blessed by him. And it's a surprising kind of life. It's a surprising kind of way of living that's not just the blessing that I'm all figured out and I'm all sorted out and I'm all good and I'm healthy and I'm rich and I'm all this. But in fact, it's very different where he's saying it actually has more to do with when you're poor in spirit. It actually has more to do with when you mourn and how God shows up in your life at that point. It actually has more to do with the meek and those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And he's painting the picture of what it looks like to live at the end of ourselves, at the end of me, to live at a place where I can't get everything figured out. So God, you're going to need to. I don't know every answer, so God, I need you to just lead me. God, I don't know every direction, and so I'll just follow you wherever you take me. I'm beyond my understanding, and so I'm just going to lean on yours, God. Your understanding is greater than mine. Your ways are higher than mine, and so I will just turn to you because I don't know where to go from here. And so we've been walking through that for a period of time. Last week we said that we heard this recognition that we will be blessed when we're merciful. And in fact, in that time, we will be shown mercy. And then this week, Jesus is talking in Matthew 5:8. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I loved that picture this week. As I've looked at this week and these past weeks, I've been excited about sharing about this idea because sometimes I think we miss this one. We don't understand this one fully because Jesus doesn't say in this moment, he doesn't say, blessed are the pure in action. He doesn't say, blessed are the pure in behavior. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. Not just those ones who do the pure actions, but those ones who have a pure heart. Not just ones who do Christian things, but those who do Christian things and aren't bitter about doing those Christian things because it's coming out of a good heart. Rather than a heart that is angry and frustrated and overwhelmed or stressed. No. He says, blessed are those whose heart is good because from that good heart will flow good things. Jesus, in this whole sermon actually, doesn't really talk about doing as much as he talks about being. Doesn't talk about Christianity as much about what you do, about who you are, about what's going on in your heart, and that your actions coming out of a broken heart and an angry heart and a frustrated heart, and you just trying to be a real Christian anyways, isn't always the best thing. Pure in heart is actually your actions are coming out of your good heart. He says, what's the real thing to deal with? Not your actions, your heart, and that your actions will flow out of that. A while ago, my wife and I guess it was last year, at the beginning, last summer, we decided that one of our friends, one of the guys that was part of our internship, and he was a guy who I was a youth pastor for in Victoria. He moved and he was part of our internship with us. He's actually sitting this morning in our Port Alberni campus, and you can wave to him. He might be waving to you right now, but it's Griffin, and Griffin was looking for a place to stay. He had done a one-year internship. He was going to stick around for another year, and Kendall and I had this little shop off the back of our garage. And it was tiny, and it housed my tools, and it was a big mess, and it was old, and it was concrete floor, and just these corkboard walls, and it wasn't all that beautiful, but the Lord allowed us to see it as a beautiful room for Griffin. And we went in, okay, we're going to do some stuff. We did flooring, put up a wall, put up a pocket door. He now has a walk-in closet, which also houses our hot water tank and our vacuum. So anyways, that's a beautiful closet. And we put in some lights. We started painting the whole space. And I was like thinking, man, Griffin's going to really owe me big time. You know, like, this is a beautiful space. Like, this is the best space in the whole house. I'm painting. Look at all the work that I'm doing. I can't. And so there was this one night where I was feeling particularly proud of myself and particularly like Griffin was going to owe me for the rest of his life. And there I am, and he was living with us then, but we hadn't finished the transition. And so we moved his bed in because, I don't know about you, but when you're doing a reno, you sort of go, okay, we're not done, but come on, let's move some stuff in and see what it's going to look like. This is going to be the best. So he got his bed in there. He put some of his stuff in there, his belongings in. And anyways, we're finishing up the project. I'm painting this one night. I've got one of those buckets where I'm dipping my brush in and painting and doing this stuff. It was late at night. Don't always paint late at night. I don't know if that's a good idea, but there I am. I'm thinking, this is so good. I can't believe we did this. This is awesome. I can't wait for him to enjoy this space. And I'm just finishing off this wall that just looks awesome. It looks amazing. And as I'm finishing it off, I actually open the door. I say, Kendall, come and check this out. Feeling pretty darn proud of myself. Like, come and look at what I've done. And as I open the door, turn and call her out, and she's on her way down, I look down and realize for the past I don't know how long, I've been somehow holding my bucket sideways and pouring paint into his open backpack of clothes. I don't know how I've never preached about this before, by the way. Too embarrassed before. I was like, ah! Kendall's already on her way down. I'm like, hurry! What do I do? And we just went crazy for this. Like, get this one. What is there anything that's covered? It's like, everything is covered. Like, literally, like, I had a bucket of paint that I'm like dumping into his bag. Like, you can see my walking spots. Like, there's it's like drizzling all around and pooling in the bottom of his internship backpack, actually. And into the internship, all of his clothes. Like, if anyone's ever gotten paint on their clothes, you know that this is a bad scene. And so it was crazy. This one, I'm not talking a couple drips. I'm not talking like one brush stroke. I'm talking it was pooling in his backpack. Kendall and I grab his backpack. We run to the laundry room. We just start, is this one going to be okay? I don't know. And we're just like, water, water, more water. Come on, anything we can do. Like, we're just scrubbing everything. He was out at the time. Thank the Lord. And we're just trying to get this as much as we can. Let's try to get it, hurry, get it, put it in there. And we put it in the wash. Like, who knows? At the end, I don't know. I scrubbed his backpack forever. I'm trying to get into every seam, and just it was insane. And I was thinking about that because I thought, what if instead of me doing that, instead in that moment, you know, I paint the wall and like he's gonna owe me big time. I look down at his backpack, and I'm like, there was this moment in my heart where I'm like, why did you put your backpack there? You know. I'll imagine, I'm just like, come on, you deal with this. This isn't my problem. I just stick it in his brand new walk-in closet, which why do you even have a walk-in closet if you're going to put your stuff there? You know, what if in that moment I decide, I'm not going to paint this. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to show him the walls. You know, he walks in like, hey, have you seen my clothes up? Who cares about the clothes? Look at the walls, you know. Look at what I've done for you, Griffin. Before we get into your clothes, like, let's just see all this. Isn't this amazing? Like, check it out. I think we do that with our faith sometimes, where we've got like a real mess going on in our heart, but we're like, yeah, I mean, the heart doesn't look too good. The actual situation is not looking too good, but look at these walls. You know, look at some of my Christian acts. Look at some of the things that I'm doing. Did you hear how loud I was singing in church today? You know, I was singing it out. It was awesome. My heart is in a terrible spot. I'm frustrated, angry, and I'm not doing good. But did you hear me singing? You know, sometimes we do that. By the way, when my kids are in the front row, my wife is singing up here, good chance that I'm working real hard at getting the heart of worship going in that morning. So pray for me, all right, Hardy? I'm like, get over here, I'm like twisting arms, and I'm like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Anyways, just a little moment of vulnerability and authenticity with you there. But sometimes we do that exact same thing. With our hearts, we go, look at the walls I've done. Look at all the hard work that I'm doing. This room looks great. Yes, your clothes are entirely destroyed. Your backpack is a mess, and I don't care. Put it away. Sometimes what we do with our own hearts. Oh, my heart's not feeling good, but I've painted the walls. You know, I've made a mess of this stuff, or that injury is still there. That pain is still, I'm still living out of that pain, but look at all the good that I'm doing in my life. Look at all that I'm accomplishing in the midst of that pain. Sometimes when our heart hurts, we start to try to act a little bit more Christian. We start to try to be more Christian to compensate for this. Oh, I don't really feel Christian, so I'll just act more Christian. Maybe eventually it'll look good, and maybe eventually it'll change my heart. And often our actions become our distractions. Hey? Often our actions become the very distractions that keep us from our heart that's in pain. Maybe I'll just act a little bit more holy. My heart will start to feel better. How many people know that that doesn't work? You know, there's many people that I know who have tried to just act a little bit more Christian. Their heart actually gets a little bit more hurt, a little bit more broken, a little bit more. You feel a little bit less sincere about your faith. Soon you're questioning your faith altogether because it's become these actions that you don't actually believe because your heart is so hardened that our actions have become distractions from the very thing that's going on inside of our heart. And Jesus invites us not to just pure actions, but to a pure heart. He invites us not to cover up our heart with our actions. He invites us to welcome him into our hearts so that our actions might start to reflect our heart rather than disguise or hide or protect our heart from the world. This line came to my mind: when we stop trying to act like a Christian, we'll be free to become one. Well, sometimes we just start to act like a Christian. And you can look down, our actions become hollow somewhere along the way. And we can look back and say, where did this happen? Usually it happens when our heart, we start to feel something in our heart and we don't deal with our heart. Instead, we just try to act it away. We try to Christian behavior it away. When we do that, all of a sudden we find that we're getting upset when people don't notice our actions. Hey, listen, I'm doing a lot of good Christian things here. Why isn't the pastor noticing? Or why am I not getting? Why is God not even seeing me? I'm doing a lot of Christian things. Can I let you know that if that's where your heart is at, you've got a heart issue. It's not an action issue. It's a heart issue. If we're like, come on, why isn't anyone seeing what I'm doing? What, that person gets to go on stage? Ah, I should be on stage, you know? That person gets to do that. Oh, that person is, I can't believe it. That was a long handshake that the pastor gave that person. And where was my handshake? You know, we sometimes get in that spot of comparing. Hey, do they even notice me? Do they even see me? We get in that spot. We say, maybe I'll just try to be more Christian and then everyone will notice me more. But good chance if your heart's in a bad place and you're trying to look like a Christian in that moment, people will know. People know when we're not being authentic in our faith. People know when we're sort of pretending and we're trying to figure it out. Jesus doesn't say, hey, just fake it until you make it. He says, instead, allow your heart to have a pure disposition before me that is not comparing with anyone, that is not doing actions for anyone, that is not accomplishing things because other people might notice it, but instead is accomplishing things out of a flow of excitement and passion and joy that the Holy Spirit has filled your heart. Welcome to a pure heart, he says. Blessed are you when you have it. When we get burnt out on acting a certain way, we get judgy towards other people, we get bitter. Hey, do you know how their actions look? You know, I've spent lots of time with a lot of marriages in my day, and just hearing about some of the stories, how often it is that a husband and wife, when they first fall in love and start walking together, so much of their connection is a heart connection. I just love you. Oh, there's this deep, oh, yeah, ah, ha, ha. Like, and then all of a sudden their actions are flowing in a certain way. And when things start to fall apart, they start to act for each other again. Here, don't worry, I still can do this and I can still do this, but their hearts are disconnected. And God knows that their hearts need to be connected. Their hearts need to walk together. We get offended by someone's actions, and so we start to act a certain way. But our actions aren't our heart in that moment. Our actions are often reactions to what's going on in our heart. And we need to know what's happening in our heart. God invites us. Hey, blessed are you when your actions actually have integrity to where your heart is at. Blessed are you when you're pure in heart. Matthew 6:1, same sermon, one chapter later. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's a stinger. Jesus says it. Hey, don't do your actions for people. If you do, there's no eternal reward. And so that's why we get so frustrated when people don't recognize our Christian actions. Don't you see all the good things that I'm doing? Well, wait, were you doing them for them? No, but that's a nice little part of it, isn't it? Jesus says, no. If you do that for people, if you're doing your actions, if you're being a Christian so people can see you being a Christian, if you're doing Christian actions so people can see your Christian actions, then your entire reward comes from people. You don't expect a reward from your God in heaven. So Jesus clears that up for us. Luke 6:45, a different book of the Bible, another guy who's learned about Jesus, Matthew 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man or woman brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Eventually, your actions are going to reflect what's actually in your heart. And sometimes we're trying to convince our heart with our actions, but then we're not pure in heart. We don't get the blessing. And the blessing from God is this, that when we are pure in heart, we will see God. Isn't that a good thing? Wouldn't it be awesome to see God? How many of us are like, God, I just want to see you. I don't know how many people in the moments or what they're dealing with. I just want to see you, God. I want to recognize you. I want to experience you. I want to feel you. Where are you, God? And often I think that the reason we're not seeing God move in our lives is because we've got this Christian facade, this Christian act. We're distracted by our Christian actions and we're trying to look Christian in the midst of it. We're like, oh, I just want to see you, God. And would you let me see you? But we're acting Christian over here, and I really believe that as we stop the facade, we will start to see God. When we start to put down some of those things, we can start to see who God actually is. God, I can't see. We can't see God our entire life is representing something else, something different. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those whose actions are an outflow of their heart. Blessed are those whose Christianity comes from the heart change in their life, not their action change. Matthew 23:5-12. Near the end of Jesus' ministry, he started his ministry in Matthew 5, and he's talking a lot about some of these pieces that we've been talking about, the Beatitudes, the blessings. Later on in Matthew 23, there's this recording of him talking about the woes. Not the song, like, whoa, whoa. He's talking about the blessings in one second. Later on, he says, there's actually some bad things I want to tell you about as well. The blessings all have to do with this end of myself, being authentic, letting yourself be who you are, recognizing God is everything and you're not everything. The woes have to do with the opposite of this. And we're going to get into those here for a second. Jesus says in Matthew 23, he's talking about the Pharisees. He says, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide. And by the way, that's basically this leather case that they've interpreted scripture to understand that they're meant to have the Shema or certain chunks of scripture in scrolls in the leather case on their forehead. And so they walk around with these things on their forehead or their fanny pack or wherever they are. And they've made their phylacteries even bigger than everyone else. Like, look how much scripture I have, or look how holy I am. Look at what's going on with me. And so they've got these massive things to show everyone just how scholarly they are. It says they make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. And here's an interesting thing that Jesus says. He says, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, when you show up to school later and the person in front of the classroom, don't call them a teacher. He's just saying, don't set up these categories as if some people, you know, I want to stand in this position. I want everyone to recognize me this way. I want everyone to think I'm this special. Look at how big my phylactery is. Look how long my garment is. Look how special I am. He's saying, no. You are all just carry. You're just all part of the body of Christ. There's one above and then the rest. It's all of you walking together towards me. You're all at the end of yourself. I'm the answer. And away we go. That's how Jesus says it. Says, the greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, sometimes we spend our time fighting for these positions that God never told us we should have, and in fact, Jesus is telling us we shouldn't have. We try to rise up the Christian ladder. Hey, look how spiritual I am. Look how good I am at all these things. Look at all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, we just become more and more hypocritical because we fight more and more to look a certain way. And as we do that, our heart feels less and less that way. I think the most incredible thing is people who serve Jesus with all of their heart, who are generous, who give amazingly, radically, who have faith in crazy situations, and who do all of that without looking to see anyone notice them. That's a sign of faith. Jesus carries on in Matthew 23, talking about the Pharisees, and he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. I want you to see something there. Jesus doesn't say clean the inside and then move to the outside. He says clean the inside and the outside will be good. You don't have to touch the outside. The outside will be good because of what happens on the inside. See, one of the things we want to recognize is that you cleaning the outside of the cup never makes the inside of the cup clean. But you cleaning the inside of the cup will always make the outside clean. Pure heart leads to pure actions. Pure actions don't lead to pure heart. Pure heart leads to pure actions. It just happens that when we walk in a way that we have honored God, we've trusted him, we've given him our heart, all of a sudden our life starts to reflect him, starts to look like him. We start to walk with him. Clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. He carries on and says, woe to you, teachers of law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. Ouch. Imagine Jesus actually says that to people. Hey, Pharisees, come on in close. You're all like whitewashed tombs. Nice and clean and pristine and beautiful on the outside. Just looks amazing. Don't these guys look amazing? Yeah, that's great. On the inside, they're dead and full of unclean things. Imagine Jesus saying that to them. Jesus is concerned about this. Which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. What a crazy understanding that God gives us here. What a crazy different perspective and different look we're given by having the opportunity to see what does it look like to have a pure heart, that our actions actually don't make our heart clean. And yet our cleanliness in our heart does make our actions clean. Worship team, you can come on up and join me. I want to ask you something today. I want to ask you to sort of search where you're at. Maybe you look at your actions right now. And when you consider your actions, you're remembering the moments where you don't feel very Christian. You don't feel like you're doing the right thing. Your actions aren't representing Jesus very well. Maybe it's that you get angry easily. You're just quick to snap. just quick to get mad. Your kids, you just have no patience with your kids. You're at school, you just have no patience with a teacher. You feel like you're around people. Maybe you say statements like, oh, I get along with everyone except ignorant people. Ignorant people, oh, I just can't. And it's just like anger rises up in you fast. Maybe that's something you're dealing with. Maybe it's lust in your life. And you think you're sitting in church, and I don't know if I fit here. I don't know if I'm loved here. I don't know if I'm valued here, because actually I feel like I've got some lust situations, like I'm pursuing things I shouldn't be pursuing. I look at things I shouldn't be looking at. I spend time thinking about things or fantasizing about things that I shouldn't be doing. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe it's greed. And for you, maybe you spend all of your time, you're thinking about how to get the next big buck, how to get the next promotion, how to get that next job. And you're making all this, you've seen all of this happen, but you haven't learned to be generous with it. You haven't started giving. You haven't started figuring out how to give of your time, give of your money, give of your talents, give of who you are. So you just are so happy that you now have so much more for yourself. You come in this moment, you can sort of feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing the right things. And sometimes the answer for you has been, okay, that's it. From now on, I'm not going to be angry. That lasts about till this afternoon. That's it. From now on, no more lust. I'm not going to act out on that one anymore. I'm done with that. That lasts till about tomorrow morning. Okay, I'm done being greedy, generous, always from now on. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give away. I'm going to, until that next promotion comes, or until you recognize that other person's not generous. And all of a sudden, you try to live these Christian actions, and it doesn't work. One of the things we got to recognize is that our actions, our anger, our greed, our lust, are some of the things that we act on. Some of those things, most of those things, come from a condition of our heart. And next time some of those actions come up, instead of you saying, oh, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to do this thing again. I want to encourage you to be in a place to say, why did I do that? What's in my heart? What hurts me right now? What am I afraid of right now? What's taking place of Jesus? What's removing the Holy Spirit from my heart right now? And to allow God to deal with your hurt and your fears, so that you might be in a place where you have not just pure actions, but they're flowing from a pure heart. And your heart might be right before God. And not only might your heart be right before God, but all of a sudden when you've dropped all of the faking, all of the pretending, all of the facade, then you will see God. That's the promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see him. They will recognize him. Blessed are those who stop pretending that their heart's in one place by trying to show everyone a certain type of Christianity. Blessed are those who allow their heart to be changed so that their actions are also changed. Blessed are those who have integrity in their, from their heart to their actions, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus invites you to deal with the problem that's actually the problem. I hope it's freeing to know that your actions are not the problem. Your actions are coming from a heart that needs some fixing, needs some healing, needs some recovery, needs some freedom. So maybe you'd all just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. In Courtney and in Port Alberni. And today, maybe you're recognizing that your actions aren't how you want them to be. Or you're recognizing that your actions have been pretty good, but they're not reflective of what your heart actually desires or wants, but they're just trying to pretend that your heart's in a better spot than it would be. One way or another, either of those situations, God says, hey, do you want a pure heart? Because I want to take care of your hurts, but first you have to be honest about them. I want to help you with some of your fears, but first you have to, instead of trying to pretend by your actions that they don't exist, I need you to be honest about your fears and about your hurts first. And so if today you say, God, I want a pure heart. I want you to deal with me not on just an action level. I want you to deal with me on a heart level. I don't want to just look like a good Christian. I want to experience the fullness of the Christian life and the Holy Spirit pulsing through my veins. If today you say, I want to know that pure heart. I want God to come meet me at a heart level. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yeah. Wow, hands all over the room. Hands are just going up all over the room. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You want to meet us at that deep level. God, you're not impressed by our actions. You're not impressed by the facade that we put up. Maybe we can fool other people, but you know our heart. You know where we're actually at. Maybe we've been able to walk in purity for a little bit of time, but you know our heart. That purity is making us bitter towards everyone who's not. That generosity is making us resent everyone who's greedy. Lord, that's not a Christian heart. Help us to have pure hearts before you, God, that our actions are not for people at all. Our actions are not even necessarily for you, but our actions are from you because you've restored our heart to a place of purity. Meet us in this space, Lord. Meet us in this moment, Lord. Help us experience your goodness by your Holy Spirit. Just touch our lives. I pray as we go through this day that we would just discover every action that we think is unchristian. Help us, Lord, say, hey, where's that coming from? What's going on? Show me, Lord. Reveal my heart. I know my actions, but reveal my heart. When I've allowed my actions to be my distractions, reveal my heart beyond just how I behave. Show me who I am in this, Lord. Heal me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.